Good morning. My name is Danielle Soucier, and I am speaking on examining the clinical utility of genomic testing for cardiovascular disease. And I work at the Center for Integration of Genetic Healthcare Technologies at the University of Pennsylvania. It's an LC center studying ethical, legal, and social implications of new emerging genetic healthcare technologies. And I worked on this project with Barbara Bernhardt. Additionally, I've also worked on a couple projects examining whole exome sequencing with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So if you have additional questions or would like me to go into some of that at the end, I'd be more than happy to. So as we can see from this diagram put together by the American Heart Association, cardiovascular disease is a leading cause of death for both males and females in the United States. I also found this great quote examining the importance of integrating a new element, so the genomic era, into prevention. And it reads, "For many years, efforts in public health regarding cancer, but I would argue that you could interchange cancer for chronic disease, such as cardiovascular disease. Prevention has focused on determinants perceived as originating outside the body, such as smoking, inactivity, or poor dietary habits. Although lifestyle habits will continue to be important risk factors for chronic disease, the discovery of chronic disease genes and related technology for testing demand that health educators incorporate genetic testing information more fully into the preventative approach." So we know that 50% of coronary artery disease susceptibility is attributed to genetics. GWAS studies have identified over 30 loci associated with CAD, and risk conferred by these markers is independent for other risk factors. Unfortunately, the identified markers explain only a small portion of the total heritability of CAD. And despite this, genomic tests for CAD risks are available commercially. So this is a diagram that's available by DECODE. And as we go further into this testing that has been used in our clinic, it identifies the chromosomes and the 8 variant markers that have consistently shown to confer risk for myocardial infarction. So the Penn Preventative Cardiology Clinic in February of 2012 decided to offer a genetic test for heart disease risk. And specifically, they said that the new test will identify 8 potential warning signs in patients' DNAs and help doctors prescribe prevention strategies that tailor to each individual's medical condition. The clinic report was issued, the following physician's report that gave information such as relative risk information, lifetime risk estimate, and a formula for a 10-year risk classification. So this situation and this test in the Penn Preventative Cardiology Clinic provided us with an opportunity to explore questions such as, are patients interested in genomic testing? Will genomic risk assessment result in behavioral changes? Will patients receiving increased risk results engage in risk reduction behaviors? Will patients receiving decreased risk results forego risk reduction behaviors? And will genomic risk assessment lead to increased worry, fatalism, or false reassurance? And will patients even understand the results of the genomic risk assessment? And so the people at the Penn Preventative Cardiology Clinic are concerned with evaluating an individual's risk for cardiovascular disease using family history, abnormal lipids, high blood pressure, high risk for stroke and other peripheral artery disease, and they also have started to incorporate this personalized cardiovascular risk factor. They use the latest technologies to explore the risk assessment, such as genetic testing, advanced lipid testing, 24-hour blood pressure monitoring. So these were opportunities that we saw as a great chance to study how this new genetic test would impact this patient population. So some of our study-specific aims included to assess patients' perception for genomic testing for cardiovascular disease risk, to determine the extent to which a visit to a preventative cardiologist with or without genomic testing for cardiovascular disease risk would influence their short-term risk behaviors, perception of the risk of heart disease, worry about heart disease, and we also sought to assess understanding and impact of genomic risk assessment results. And that's what I'll be focusing today, the discussion of the results for today. So the study instruments were quite comprehensive. It was a it had a quantitative and qualitative component. I'm only listing the items that I'm focusing on today's talk, but there were many more that were also included. In the pre-visit survey, we asked for sociodemographics, perception of risk of developing cardiovascular disease, perception of seriousness and preventability of CVD, interest in genetic testing, and then we gave hypothetical scenarios and asked them to respond to these questions. As far as today, I'll be focusing on, from the post-survey results, understanding test results if the patients did have testing. And then we also conducted a qualitative component and interviewed patients who had the cardiovascular disease risk test. And the test is called the MIRA, so it's the myocardial infarction risk assessment test. And here I'll be focusing on understanding of test and possible results, questions after getting results, and the utility of the genetic test. So our study methodology was as followed. Patients were screened in the waiting room of the clinic, and the eligibility criteria included whether or not they were a new patient to the clinic, if they were 21 to 60, and they had to have no known personal history of cardiovascular disease. So from those patients, 115 were administered a pre-visit survey over the course of about a year. The survey took about 10 minutes to complete, and they could complete it. They needed to complete it before they saw the physician. From those patients, we noticed that we were missing some of the patients that had been receiving genetic testing, just based on the clinic flow and how the physicians were offering the test. So that's why the qualitative component came in. So then we also conducted a medical chart review 2 to 3 months after the visit. None of that data will be presented today. It is currently still being analyzed. And the post-visit survey was administered to all the participants, but we had a follow-up of 97 people, and that was administered 6 to 9 months after their visit. And the telephone interview was took place with 22 people, and again, those were people that we had noticed we were missing and were unable to capture pre-survey data on. But they all the interview participants did take the post-survey. So as far as the patient population that we spoke with, and this includes all patients, so from the pre-survey, post-survey, and the telephone interview, the majority of our participants were female, between the ages of 40 and 59. They were white, married or living as married, highly educated, employed full-time, had children, and had self-reported good or excellent health. During the pre-visit survey, we asked participants what they perceived their probability of developing cardiovascular disease was, and we asked that by asking them to write a number between 0 and 100, indicating their lifetime chance of developing cardiovascular disease. And here you can see that the majority, so 79%, indicated that they had at least 50% chance of developing CVD in their lifetime. And interestingly, 11.3% had indicated that they had 100% chance. We also assessed seriousness and preventability of cardiovascular disease. And we asked participants whether or not having cardiovascular disease was life-threatening. And the majority of participants did indicate that it was. We also asked them to indicate whether they strongly disagree that they worry about developing cardiovascular disease. And again, the majority of participants agree that they do worry. And we also asked them whether or not they agreed or disagreed with whether or not there was a lot they could do to prevent cardiovascular disease. And as you can see, a majority of the participants did feel that there was a lot they could do. So it's interesting that these participants did believe that the disease was serious, and they did worry about it, but they felt that there was things they could do to change their chances of developing the disease. At this point in the pre-visit survey, we also asked them about a hypothetical. The hypothetical scenario sought to assess attitudes and behaviors to whether or not to the following scenario. And they were presented with the following description. Scientists have developed tests which are able to detect differences in individuals' genes that may or may not predispose them to developing cardiovascular disease. The tests would be done in a small sample of blood and would be covered by health insurance. The test results might help doctors customize medical care for his or her patients. And the first scenario was that if they had received a genetic test that found a predisposition for the development of cardiovascular disease, we asked them whether they agreed or strongly disagreed with the following statements. And as you can see, the majority of participants indicated that if they found a predisposition from a genetic test, that they would change their diet, they would exercise more, they would worry a lot about getting cardiovascular disease, and they would feel concerned about how their test results would affect their insurance status. Then we also asked whether or not the genetic test, if it did not find a predisposition, how that would impact the same types of scenarios. And you can see here that the majority of the participants disagreed with the statements. We also asked them to express their interest in genetic testing. And by asking them if they were offered a test that could determine if they were predisposed to develop cardiovascular disease, would they take the genetic test? And the majority said that they would. So this then moves us into the pre-survey results. And I'll remind you that the N for this is pretty small. Participants were asked if they were offered the genetic test, and 46 indicated that they were, and 19 were unsure. If participants responded yes or no, they were then asked if they had genetic testing, and 74% indicated that they did. And for those who indicated that they had it, 74% had indicated they received the results. And these were out of an N of 31, and you can see the N's slowly decreased. So it was a small population. We then asked participants to explore their understanding of the test results with us. And in the first column, you can see participants' perception of their risk result. This was a question on the post-survey that asked participants to indicate what their genetic test meant for their risk. So you can see that for them, it was an increased risk, a decreased risk, an unchanged risk, or unsure of result, and that was compared to their actual result. And then we also asked them to describe their perceived understanding on a scale of whether or not they completely understood or did not understand at all. And you can see people did a fairly accurate job at assessing their understanding with their actual risk. So in the interview participants, we also asked them questions about receiving their results. This participant said, "It's my DNA, right? My DNA is not changing. You should only need to pull it once." But interestingly, they said, "But you're learning more things that change, or things that could change without having to draw my blood. Can you give me an update?" So this person wanted to know if we could come back and give them more information. This person here indicated that since it's his or her genetic information is now on file, what else can you find out? So they were expressing some concerns about what to do with the information after. And then this person expressed the question, "Did I need to do anything different as a result of the test?" So they were wondering, what am I supposed to do with the result? So these were interesting questions that people had after getting their results. And this person also said that, "I think it gives you like your results like a 1 point blah blah. That doesn't mean anything to me." So interesting, this person, you know, has expressed some questions as to what the actual result means. We also asked participants, "What do you think would have been helpful for your understanding when the test was explained?" This person indicated that, you know, they would have liked to have received the sheet of paper with what they're looking for and what information might have been useful and reasons for looking at that information and how it will contribute to their knowledge. This person wanted to know how to interpret the results. This person wanted to learn more about genetics and more about personalized medicine. And this person wanted to know what they were looking for specifically in the DNA and what they do once they get the information. So here you can see that these participants are thinking very hard about their results and wanting to know more about what to do with them and how to incorporate them into their healthcare now that they've received them. And finally, this participant said, what the test can and can't do, and what's it looking for. So the limitations were a question that the people, participants had as well. Here we looked at attitudes and behaviors according to the perception of the genetic testing results. As you can see, again, these were the decreased risk result, unchanged risk result, increased risk result, and then we also asked this question of people who did not have genetic testing. And interesting, for the increased risk result, 62% agreed that they would change their diet. 83% of an unchanged risk result said that they'd exercise more. And 66.6% but indicated that they would worry with this unchanged risk result. We also asked participants, do you think that the genetic test result changed the way you think about your risk factors? And this person said, it doesn't really add a whole lot to the profile because it's just plain numbers to me. This person said, no, it hasn't, and I put it more in the good bank as opposed to the minus bank, which is very interesting. And this person said, yeah, I guess in some ways, because it's like seeing it on a piece of paper makes it more real than just talking about it with your family. It just kind of makes it like more true. So looking at the impact of these risk factors was interesting for patients as well. We also asked them their perspectives on the utility of the test. And this person said, well, because it's a fact that they compared it to data that they already have about the likelihood of my chance of developing cardiovascular disease, I thought it was a good tool in diagnosing. This person said, I think that the ability to have a blood test to provide you with the kind of insight now is really awesome. I would much rather be in a position to be proactive and get a blood test and says, hey, this is what you're going to go on, and we need to do these things to mitigate the risks, versus being in a reactionary position. And, oh my gosh, I have chest pains, and what the hell does this mean? So for me, it was wonderful to have this kind of science available to us. And finally, this participant said, I guess my biggest question is, what does this really mean? My father's a physician, and my father was kind of like, why are you going to do this if it's not going to direct your care in a different way? So I guess it kind of left with me feeling like, okay, I have this increased risk, but I don't really know what behaviors to modify or anything I can do. And so this quote really left me wondering, you know, how are we supposed to help these patients utilize this genetic information and make risk behavior modifications? And so it's an interesting future consideration for the field. So some of our study limitations were the small number of participants that had genetic testing, missed patient recruitment due to the setup of the clinic, and health-conscious participants were the majority of our patient population. So it's often difficult to generalize to the larger population. So some of our preliminary conclusions, and again, we're still in the process of analyzing this data, include that the fact that the participants expressed interest in genomic testing for cardiovascular disease risk, said they would eat better and exercise more if genomic testing found a predisposition. So leading positive testing could lead to behaviors of reduced risk, we found. And some said they would not change their diet or exercise if the genomic testing did not find a predisposition, which again might lead to false assurance as to having these genetic test results. And finally, the majority of our participants expressed a fairly accurate understanding of their test results based on our survey results. And then as far as future directions and considerations for the field, we want to continue to explore what to do with the genetic test results in terms of risk-reducing behaviors, especially for increased risk results. So what are we supposed to do, or how are we supposed to communicate these to our patients so they understand and can incorporate them into lifestyle risk modifications, and we also want to explore how to effectively introduce genomic testing to patients, how to effectively give results back to patients, and how to effectively communicate these relative risk results, and then how to incorporate the genomic testing into primary care. So thank you very much, and these are just a couple of thank yous and considerations. Thank you.